Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, giving all honor, glory, and praise to your name, Father, and to you especially we come before you, seeking a blessing today. We ask, Father, that you would hear and answer prayer and touch the bodies of those that need a healing as Yahweh Rapha this day. You know what our needs are even before we ask. Father, raise those up from their beds of affliction and heal them according to your will. Be our comforter and console all those who've lost loved ones who are mourning at this time. Father, we know that you know all things, and the judge of the earth will do everything that is right. So let us not question, Father, your decision, but help us, Father, to understand and to receive this comfort and consolation that we're seeking. Father, we also ask that you would be Yahweh, Yireh, our provider, providing us with everything we have need of, not only with the word today, Father, but allow that word to have free course in our hearts and to cause each one of us to cling to you, Father, to seek your face at every turn. We thank you, Father, for our life, health, and strength and all of the provisions which you've given us, our shelters, the food that we so gratefully receive daily. You know what our needs are, and you continually provide. And we thank you, Father, for that provision. The greatest need, of course, is being in a relationship with you. And we ask, Father, that those who have yet to be baptized would seek out to receive that gift that you have prepared for them from the foundation of the world. We love you and thank you, Father, for every blessing and for the hope that you've given us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his great sacrifice that he gave, giving us life everlasting. We love you and thank you for every blessing. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message today is entitled, Do You Belong to Yahweh? In John chapter 17, this is a passage that we've been studying in the on the prayer line in the morning. Yahshua explains his relationship with his Father and the elect. He does three things in this chapter, which we're going to look at. He prays for them. He advocates for them. And he loves them. Turn over to John chapter 17. And we're going to start there in verse 1. This is Yahshua's high priestly prayer. These things spoke Yahshua, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. It's time. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So Yahshua asked Yahweh to glorify him, that he would be able to glorify Yahweh. It wasn't for his own purpose. And too often, we come before Yahweh and we pray and we ask for things. We ask for things of this world. Yahshua was asking for the glorification of the Father. He wanted the world to see his glory. Verse 2, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given me, he should give eternal life. So the people, the men that Yahweh had given Yahshua, he wanted to pass on to them eternal life. He wanted to give them this special gift. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they should know you, the only true Elohim, and him who you did send, even Yahshua the Messiah. Now, this is a major difference and key that the world does not have. They don't have Yahshua, and they don't know the Father. So here, Yahshua is praying for his people, the ones that Yahweh has given him out of the world. Verse 4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify you me with your own self and with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Now, before the world was, of course, Yahshua was with Almighty Yahweh in heaven. And he had the glory, and we can see this glory, which is a whole nother sermon, throughout the Old Testament. Yahshua was the mighty one of the Old Testament, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. As we know from Philippians and other passages, nothing was created that he didn't create. So Yahshua's glory is from the beginning. He is the only begotten of the Father. Verse 6, I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. So he taught them Yahweh's name. See, because prior to his coming, you had the leaders of this world who had taken the key of the kingdom away. They did not allow the people to use the name of Yahweh. It was blasphemy. It was a sin to them. They made it something that was positive, very negative, which we see, you know, being done in the world today. People are somewhat upside down when it comes to the truth. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, this is the distinction. This is where the advocacy comes in, because we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua the Messiah. He says that yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is the distinction that we have to make and show the difference between us and the people of the world. We don't necessarily care what the world is doing, but we have to show that we're Yahweh's people by what we do. Do you belong to Yahweh? If you belong to Yahweh, you're going to keep his commandments. So that's the difference. The world is not going to keep his commandments. They're not going to show that they belong to Yahweh because they violate the covenant. They show that they belong to the enemy, Satan the devil. Verse 7. Now they know that all things, whatever you have given me, are from you. The words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. And that's one of the things we have to confess before we receive baptism, that we believe that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. That's the confession that we have to confess. And we have to believe it. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Do we glorify Yahweh, brethren, by the way we live our lives? That's an important question that we have to answer. Each one of us must be able to answer this question as far as how we live our lives. Are we overcoming the world? Are we living a life that's pure? Are we keeping the commandments? Verse 11, I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. He asked them to do this thing. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Now, that term, achad, or oneness, means that we are walking in truth together. We're doing the right things. We're keeping the commandments because Yahshua kept all the commandments. He showed that he belongs to Yahweh. And the reason he showed he belonged to Yahweh, because he did no sin. He kept each and every one of the commandments, of which we have to do if we say that we are his people. That's going to separate you from the world right there. Verse 12. Well, no, let's stop here at verse 11. Remember the three things. He prays for them, he advocates for them, and he loves them. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. He's our advocate. He's the one that stands in the gap between us and Yahweh. He's given us access through him to the Father. And he is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So anybody that chooses to keep the covenant, that receives that baptism into life, can belong to Yahweh. Verse 3, and by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. That's how you know that you know him, by keeping his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And we know many, many, many people that fall into this category. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, and remember in John 17, Yahshua says that they have kept your word. In him, the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this, we know that we are in him by keeping his commandments. We know that we belong to Yahweh. He, verse 6, that says that he remains in him ought to himself also walk even as he walked. And we're talking about Yahshua. How Yahshua walked. We have to walk as Yahshua walked. And Yahshua kept every one of Yahweh's commandments. He didn't violate not one of them. Verse 7. Beloved, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. In Genesis, the old commandment is the word which you heard. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shines. That true light is Yahshua the Messiah, who was shining in the lives of men. Verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and knows not where he goes because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Too many people say that they love Almighty Yahweh, but they hate their brother. They have issues with their brother or sister or parents or children. And these problems that we have one to another eliminates. It shows us that we don't belong to Yahweh if we have hate for anybody. And that goes for every group out there that hates someone else. See, if you single people out and say, well, you know, we don't like these people because they wear their hair long. Or we don't like these people because they, you know, are of a different nationality than we are. Then we've eliminated ourselves from the equation of being Yahweh's people. Because Yahweh's people don't hate anybody. You understand? The only thing they hate is sin. Not the people that commit it. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's the violation of the commandments. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 11. Remember, this message is entitled, Do You Belong to Yahweh? In this manner, Solomon finished the house of Yahweh. He built the house of Yahweh that his father David had committed to doing. He wanted to do something great for Yahweh. But David was not allowed to build. And the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of Yahweh and in his own house, he prospered because he decided he wanted to do something for Yahweh. Verse 12, and Yahweh appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, repent, teshuva, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and hallowed this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom according as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail you a man to be ruler in Israel. But what happened to Solomon? What happened to Solomon? Solomon didn't remain faithful. Solomon allowed his wives and his concubines to blind him and to pull him away from the relationship that he had with Yahweh. Now, if you belong to Yahweh, you're going to be faithful in everything that you do. Now, this particular relationship here is about the temple. Solomon was praying about this place, the physical temple that he was building. But see, what you have to understand is that if you belong to Yahweh, each one of you has to be a building block in that spiritual temple that Yahweh is building in these last days. Each one of us is a temple of Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 1. This is our righteous faith in action. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. How do you do this? How do you present yourself to Yahweh as a living sacrifice? As long as you are breathing, as long as you are alive, you have hope. It says you have to be holy, kadesh, set apart for something special, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. Now, in John chapter 17, we saw the high priestly prayer being prayed by Yahshua. And he was praying for his people, the one Yahweh had given him. He was the advocate for them. And he was showing that he loved them, which we'll get to in a minute. But love is the key here, because it separates you from those who don't love their brethren, those who are not in a position to say that they're Yahweh's people, whether they use his name or not. If you don't have love for one another, you're not Yahweh's people. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We have to be humble, brethren. But so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. How much faith do you have? Some people's faith is very small. But how much faith has Yahweh dealt to you? Verse 4, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in the Messiah, and severally members one of another, and having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorts to his exhorting. He that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. We know what hypocrisy is, don't we, brethren? Saying one thing and doing another. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. We have to love one another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Because you're going to have trials in your life. And he wants you to be patient through those trials. Too many people give up. And we have to be patient to the end. We have to be able to make it through to the end. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to pray. Communicating the necessities of the saints. Give them the hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits, brethren. Render to no man evil for evil. If someone does something to you that you see as evil, you don't have to retaliate. You don't have to respond to them the way they respond to you, which is what most people do. You know, I'm going to do to them before they do to me. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to be loved, if you want to be treated right, treat them right. Show them love, despite what they show you. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Can we do that, brother? Can we be at peace with all men, even though they're trying to hurt you? Can you be at peace with someone that's trying to do you dirt? They're trying to get you locked up or trying to get you in trouble financially, taking you to court. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do, to overcome evil with good. Back over in John 17, the high priestly prayer. John 17. I want to start in verse 11 again. We stop there. I want to start in verse 11. It says, and I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Are you one with Yahshua the Messiah? Do you belong to Yahweh, brethren? Verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished but the son of perdition. What does this mean? That the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of them perished. All of them died. But he's making a distinction between Judas Iscariot and the other of the apostles. They all died, but only one of them perished. See, what he's saying is that they have eternal life, whereas though Judas does not, because he forsook Yahshua the Messiah. The others did not. We cannot forsake Yahshua, because if we belong to Yahweh, we're going to hang in there to the end, doing his will and his work. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Yahshua was not of the world. He didn't live a worldly life. He came to do Yahweh's will, which we have to do as well. I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. There's a difference. See, we're still going to be in the world. We have to live in the world. We have to give a witness to the world. But we don't have to be in the world, doing the things that the world is doing. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of Yahweh separates us from the world. To sanctify someone is to set them apart for a holy purpose. We've been set apart because we belong to Yahweh. And our lives will reflect that if we're keeping the commandments. If we're walking in truth, verse 18, as you did send me into the world, even so I send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. So this is talking about us, because we believe in Yahshua the Messiah because of this, because of the word. You understand? We haven't walked with Yahshua as the disciples walked with Yahshua, but we've chosen him based on the word that we've been given. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me, and the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. Now, when a husband marries a wife, they're two separate entities, but they become basa'akad. They become one in purpose. You understand? They are married. We become one when we're married to Yahshua the Messiah in the faith. When we receive that baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we become one with Yahshua in purpose. Verse 21 again, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So he's showing that him and the Father are one in purpose. That they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. That glory that we've received, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me and love them even as you love me. See, we're loved of Yahshua, as I said in those three things in this chapter. He prays for them to the Father. He advocates for them to the Father. And he loves them. Father, in verse 24, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me, and I made known to them your name. Yes, we know the name of Yahweh, and we'll make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them. See, Yahshua is manifesting that love that he had from Yahweh to us, and I in them. Almighty Yahweh is truly showing us that we have received the glory which Almighty Yahweh has given. Now that glory, again, is from the Father. He wants us to have the glory. He wants us to be like him. Do you belong to Yahweh is the title of this message. And you have to answer that for yourself. You know whether you're faithful in keeping the covenant and following the commandments which are given. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you shall confess with your mouth that Yahshua is sovereign, and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between one who praises Yahweh and the Gentile. For the same master is sovereign of all and is rich to all that call on him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now, I want you to think about this, where it says, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. Here, you have a major distinction. The Jew has been taught, even though they know the name of Yahweh, not to use it. The Gentile hasn't been taught the name of Yahweh. You understand? So they're alike. But see that term, Yahudim, or what's translated Jew here in the text. If you put in there one who praises Yahweh, see, because that's the difference between us, who praise Yahweh, who give glory to his name versus those who don't. Our job as Eliyah in the last days is to make sure those people Yahweh sends our way know that they have to praise Yahweh's name. And they learn that from what? From what we do. You understand? People learn by example. And he says in verse 13, I'll read 12 again, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same master is sovereign of all, who's Yahshua the Messiah, and is rich to all that call on him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. But how can you call on him whom you don't know? And this is where we come in. We have to teach and preach this name, this mighty name of Yahweh in these last days. Isaiah chapter 65. I'm going to start in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 8. In this manner, says Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountain, and my chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. There's a blessing in the new wine. Now, that we'll get into another day, because it's very deep about the new wine. You have to understand that the vine is Israel, okay? And the offspring of spiritual Israel are Yahweh's people, the ones who've inherited. In verse 10 it says, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in. For my people that have sought me, they're going to receive the best of everything. They're going to be fed. They're going to receive a great harvest. But in verse 11, you see the opposite. But you that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune or God, because that's another term. If you look at that in the Hebrew, the term fortune is they pray to God for money. And that Philip mingled wine for destiny, to destiny, money. And you can find that in Daniel 5, 1 to 7. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. So the call goes out. Many are called, but few are chosen, because you do the choosing. You did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but you did that which was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. And that's the violation of the covenant. And that's what people do. They know the difference. Yahweh is giving them an opportunity to repent. Verse 13, therefore thus says Yahweh, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse to my chosen. And the sovereign Yahweh will kill you. Yahweh's going to kill you. And he will call his servants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. Yahweh is going to hide his eyes and his ears. He's not going to hear when tribulation comes upon the world and those who rejected him call upon him. It'll be too late, like when the flood came and when Sodom and Gomorrah was rained upon. It's going to be too late. There's going to come a time when it's too late to repent. You understand? But if you belong to Yahweh, you're going to be okay. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Then they that feared Yahweh spoke one with another, and Yahweh listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, even my own possession in the day that I make, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not. Yahweh's going to make a distinction between those who are serving him and those who are not keeping the covenant. Now, when you present this to someone and you present the word of Yahweh, you have to let them know that they have to keep the covenant. Oh, it's been done away with. No, the keeping of the commandments have never been done away with. They're still being done and kept in the New Testament, in our age as well. See, because in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 17, says, and the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed that keeps the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. See? The devil hates those who are keeping the commandments. But we that belong to Yahweh keep the commandments. Turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim in whom I trust. If we trust Yahweh, we're going to keep His commandments. Verse 3, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror that by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness. See, the world would have you, especially here in the United States, the news, they're going to get you worried about North Korea firing nuclear missiles over on America. Remember when Saddam Hussein was sending rockets to Israel? They bombed Israel. And what happened? Not one of them killed anybody. One man died in that whole war, you might say, of Israel. And he died from a heart attack. It was an older gentleman. But what I'm trying to say here is that Yahweh is our protector. He's the one that's going to protect us. So we don't need to worry about what's going on in the world. If you belong to Yahweh, you can walk assuredly knowing, as it says in the scripture, 1,000 will fall on your right hand and 10,000 on your left, but it's not going to come near you because Yahweh is protecting you. He's going to be with you. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. For you, O Yahweh, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. There shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plagues come near your tent. In other words, tabernacles. You can put tabernacles in here where it says tent, your temporary dwelling. For He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. But your ways have to be His ways, brother. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Is the name important? Absolutely. And this is why it's so important for us to take this message to the world that Yahshua gave us in the Great Commission. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. When that tribulation comes, we're going to be with him. We're going to be protected. We don't have to worry about it affecting us. It's coming upon this earth, brethren. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The salvation of Yahweh is going to be with his people. Turn back over to John 17. John 17, this is going to be a quick review, starting from verse 18. He says, as you did send me into the world, because Yahweh sent Yahshua into the world, even so I send them into the world. We are emissaries of the kingdom of Yahweh because we belong to Yahweh. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in the truth. Each one of us is set apart by the truth, brethren. Neither, in verse 20, for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. Does the world believe that Yahshua was sent because of you? That's a good question. Are we living up to our calling, brethren? Do we belong to Yahweh? And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me and love them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me. Do you know that Yahshua has been sent by Yahweh to be salvation for the world? Verse 26, and I may know to them your name, and will make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Almighty Yahweh has called you. Into a special relationship. Yahshua explains this relationship with his Father and the elect. He prays for them. He advocates for them and he loves them. Yahshua loves each one of us that has accepted the covenant, that is walking in truth and that is keeping his commandments in these last days. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to walk in truth and to keep the commandments. Would you all please rise at this time? Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, on this your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name for this opportunity to come before you. We ask that your word would have free course in us and be a blessing to us as each one of us seeks to do your will. We, Father, want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to live a life as Yahshua led, showing the world that he was from the Father. Help us, Father, to do no sin and to witness this truth to all those you send us to in these last days. Let us be a blessing to this world, that they might rejoice and come and accept and receive the gift of salvation through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his holy name. We pray and ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. We're going to have a song at this point.